This is Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, and Sydney James in
Hancock's Half Hour.
This week, the whole of Europe is tense with excitement following the course of that exhausting and nerve-wracking endurance test, the Monte Carlo Rally. And this year, we British can feel fairly confident because the cream of our skilly nerve racing drivers are driving some pretty fine new machines. So let us take you back to Monday's memorable start from Glasgow.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Brian Johnson reporting from Glasgow, the starting point for British competitors in this year's edition of the most grueling test for man and machine in the motoring calendar, the famous Monte Carlo Rally. It really is a wonderful sight. Almost every car manufacturer in Britain has entered his latest model, driven by some of the finest drivers in the world. Over there I can see Ken Wharton in his Daimler, yes, and there's Raymond Baxter in his hotted up Ford Zephyr, and Rich Parnell driving one of the Aston Martin DB2s, all tensed up waiting for the signal to start. Now wait a second, apparently there's one competitor still to arrive. It's number 101, Britain's top racing driver, Captain Anthony Wheels Hancock. He was, of course, the sensational winner of last year's Grand Prix de Grimsby for foot-operated football. Captain Hancock, in his private the end of Sid James special, was last seen a few miles south of Glasgow, so we should see him coming tearing up the starting line any minute now.
Come on now, push! Harder! Get your shoulder behind it, Mora. Quick your heels in, every good girl. Quick this. Come on, Bill, get the back of it. What's the matter with you? What a car this is. We had to push it halfway from London.
Well, I expect to have to push a car occasionally.
Yeah, but not downhill.
Oh, stop moaning and twist. If we don't hurry up, they'll start without us.
Oh, Tony, why don't we give up? We'll never get there.
Give up? Wheels, Hancock, give up? Never. For the last 10 Monte Carlo rallies, me and my car have been on that starting line.
And stay there, Harry.
Very good.
No, Tony, please. Let's rest for a minute. I can't push this thing any further.
Oh, go all right, then. Honestly, I don't know what's wrong with the young girls of the day. Ask them to push a car for a few miles and they're finished.
A few miles? We left London with 12 gallons of petrol and we've still got 11 and a half.
We've used half a gallon, have we?
Yeah, and that evaporated.
Don't blame me. It's Sid's car, not mine. I'm just driving it, that's all.
I don't understand it, Sid. What made you enter a car like this in the first place?
I'll tell you. The winner of the Monte Carlo Rally gets 1,200,000 francs, see?
Wait a minute. 1,200,000 francs, 25 acres to the yen, 4 yen to the yen. 2 rupees, 1 sou. Sous are better than annas, annas. Annas, that reminds me, I haven't heard from Elsie lately. See her down the rink, I expect. Never mind. Let's see. 15 marks, 1 centime. Centimes into guilders, a couple of pennies.
Hey, pal. Look, I pal.
There's just one more little detail to work out.
What?
How much is 1,200,000 francs?
I don't know, but it's a lot of rhino, and I'm going to win it.
Listen, this heap wouldn't win the rally if we started in Monte Carlo.
Don't be so sure, Billy boy. What happens when all the cars reach Dover?
They go on board the ferry to get to France.
Exactly. And Uncle Charlie would never let me down.
Who's Uncle Charlie?
He drives the ferry. And I hope they all enjoy it.
What?
Their winter cruise to Iceland.
That's the dirtiest trick I've ever heard of.
Yes, I'm rather proud of it myself.
Better get a move on or we're not going to get there for the start.
Right. Which way do we go?
I don't know. Ask that lady there.
Oh, wait. Excuse me, madam.
What can I do for you?
I'm sorry, sir. The clothes are very confusing up here. Right? Do you know the way to Glasgow?
I do. Thanks very much. Good day.
Come back. Yes, jolly good. Thank you. Very helpful. And look, we're English, see?
Oh, you poor wee lad. What a terrible thing to happen to a man.
Yes. Well, we're lost, you see.
Mistaken is more the word.
I want to get to Glasgow. Which is the quickest way?
Well, let me see now. Glasgow. I'm leaving there because I'm a wee laddie. I'm afraid I might have forgotten how to get there. I've got a terrible, terrible memory.
Aye.
I'm always forgetting
things. Well, thanks.
Yes, I'm crying. No, it's no good. I'll have to remember to do. I'll have to have something to jog my memory. Turn right to the crossroads, carry on for half a mile. Left, left again, over the level crossing, and then you... Carry on for 2 miles, left the signpost, past the telephone box, over the railway bridge, and then... First sight again. Straight past Angus McPherson's distillery, past Ian McIntosh's distillery, past Duncan McPhee's distillery, past Sandy McTavish's distillery, past Andrew McDuff's distillery, past...
Is this the quickest way?
No, but it's some of the finest scenery in Scotland.
Right, folks. Thank you very much. I think we'll be all right now. Hoots. We'll be a while. Goodbye. Langmeyer Lumreek, or whatever that is. I love porridge in the springtime.
Brown Johnston here again, and I really must apologize for the delay in starting this Monte Carlo rally of 1955. But we're still waiting for competitor number 101, Captain Wheels Hancock, to arrive at the start. She's 3 hours overdue now, and... Oh, wait a minute. I do believe... Yes, here he comes at last. I can just see an empty car coming round the corner, closely followed by Hancock and his three assistants. He's still on the way now as Hancock gets his car into position. Yes, it's there, and he's just going over for a word with the official staff.
Morning, I'm sorry we're late. Where do you want me to put the car?
Yes, well, I was there, I must, as I must say. The London to Brighton was running several weeks ago.
So highly amusing that was, yes. Listen, this car is entered for the Monte Carlo rally. You've got the entry there.
Very good key. What name?
Hancock. H-A-N-C-O-C-K. The H is optional.
Oh, yes. Hancock. Ah, yes. Captain Wheels Hancock. That's me. Born in 1896.
At the date of the car.
Yes, of course. I have the details here. An 1896 modified AJY special. AJY.
Assembled from the junkyards.
I see. What rating is she?
Oh, 6 cylinders, overhead valve engine, twin carburetor, straight through exhaust, special compression head, supercharged with a capacity of 3,000 cubic centimeters, developing 160 brake horsepower. That's a special accessory of our home design, which I must say really gets her going.
Oh, what's that?
A tow rope.
Well, now then. Now then, just a few customs formalities. What equipment will you be taking with you?
My co-driver, Mr. Bill Spanner's car. Radio, fog lights, spare tires, and me heater.
I don't see any heater.
Maura, stand up for the judgment.
Well, of course, the owner of the car, Mr. Sporting Sidney James, will also be traveling with us, a most valuable member of my crew.
What does he do? He's in charge of the tin tacks and the broken glove.
Well, now, here's your timetable. Now, you have to be in Dover by tonight.
Do the trolleybuses run all the way?
Trolleybuses? Of course not.
Oh. See if you can get them 2 long poles, we won't be needing them.
Well, I think we can get started now. All right, everybody, start your engine.
And now, listeners, everything's been remnant to the start. All the cars are revving up, each waiting for his signal to go. Any minute now, yes, the first one's off, the Monte Carlo rally's underway.
Thank you. journey. Won't it start?
Won't it start? Won't it start? Of course it won't start, idiot. Women.
Won't it start?
You'll be asking me if I've switched on this.
Well, have you?
She's right. She did right.
My dear old missus, I found the trouble.
What was it?
I haven't switched on.
Oh, come on, let me have a go.
Listen to her tearing away there.
Well, what are we waiting for?
There's something stopping the front wheels from moving forward.
Oh, yes, I see what it is.
What?
They put two coats of paint on the starting line.
Wait a minute. We're moving. Yes? We're moving. Quick, let the clutch in.
Time now, 6 hours since the rally started.
Getting dark. Where are we?
Not sure, Bill. Have a look at that sign.
Okay, I...
Oh. What does it say?
Fucking Hall Street.
We'll have to do better than this, Hancock. Somebody, I'll get this car to double tonight if it kills me.
Please.
Crossing into Dover, please. You'll find a car in the guard zone.
This is Brian Johnson reporting once again on the progress made so far in the Monte Carlo rally. Now, we've just heard that the first driver to reach Dover was Captain Anthony Wheels Hancock in his 1896 modified AJY Special.
Please, David, please march into the boat.
Well, congratulations, Captain Hancock, on breaking the record for the Glasgow to Dover run. What a fantastic speed you must have kept up.
Ah, well, it's downhill all the way, isn't it?
Downhill? It's not, you know.
But it is for us. We've got big back wheels.
Come on, Chubb. We'd better get some sleep. The ferry leaves for Boulogne first thing in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Brown Johnson reporting on the second day of the Monte Carlo rally. As listeners, I think, already know, the BBC's motor racing correspondent, Raymond Baxter, is actually taking part in the rally and is recording up-to-the-minute eyewitness accounts from inside his car. And so, for the first of these reports, over to Raymond Baxter.
Raymond Baxter reporting from Boulogne, ready to begin stage two of the Monte Carlo rally. Now, the cars are pouring off the ferry onto French soil. And there goes Captain Hancock's AJY Special, looking somehow different with her twin funnels, her streamlined main mast, and underside lights. A really magnificent sight as she slowly drives into the customs shed for examination.
Now, Tony, are you sure you can handle French customs?
What? Well, lad, I'll have you know that je parle français aussi bon que anyone else.
Well, you know what the French are, and you know what customs officials are.
Maman, vous just pipe down, peu, and leave it to the colossus.
Ah, bonjour, monsieur le douanier.
Bonjour, monsieur. Avez-vous quelque chose à déclarer?
Mais non, je suis simplement un chauffeur dans le Monte Carlo.
Très bien, monsieur. Mais je dois vous avertir que si vous avez avec vous des narcotiques, des bijoux, du tabac, des animaux, des armes à feu, où vous comprenez des choses semblables, si vous voulez les déclarer.
Écoutez, je vous ai assuré et je vous en prie de me croire. C'est la vérité. Je n'ai absolument rien à cacher.
Je vous connais.
What did he say?
Never mind about him. What did I say?
Tony, that's no way to get through. Let me try their French customs.
Bonjour, mon capitaine.
Well, we all know what that means.
Oh, quelle femme, quelle beauté, quelle élégance, quelle femme. T'as une téléphone?
Mais oui, je porte bouche. 7-4, s'il vous plaît.
Hello, hello. Au revoir, chérie.
What did all that mean?
Well, roughly translated, it means we go straight through. Come on.
Amour, amour, amour. Amour, amour.
We're not having any more, then. An old favorite, but came in useful there.
That's your lot. Come, children, on our way to Monte Carlo.
That's all half of them came on the belly for anyway.
Good evening, Mr. Brown Johnson again, and here is the latest news of the Monte Carlo rally. The halfway stage has been reached, and I'm very pleased to say that so far the British contingent has kept fairly well together. But the most amazing thing is that leading the field is none other than Wheels Hancock. Yes, that 59-year-old car of his is holding its own against the high-powered, up-to-date sports models from all over the world. They just can't seem to pass him. I'd give anything to know just how he's managing to do it.
All right, Sid, we've crossed the bridge.
Right, blow it up.
Right, and when we get round the corner, we've got another landslide. Who's driving that car directly behind us?
Let's see, number 24, Armstrong Tidley, driven by Air Vice Marshal Pathfinder Bennett.
Right, turn the signpost round, that's one path he won't find.
Here he comes, here he is.
Well, he's going at a fast lick of me. Still, I think he liked Turkey when he gets
there. Hey, fella, something's gone wrong. There's a car behind us. Got past all the traps we laid. He must have taken a shortcut.
Who is he, Moira?
Just a minute. 76. Good heavens, it's the car that the BBC commentated in. Raymond Baxter.
Baxter, we'll have him. Yes.
Quick, Sid! Smoke bomb!
Good evening. Raymond Baxter again, this time speaking to you from the road about 90 miles southeast of Paris, heading towards the mountainous stage of the rally. Now, I understand that we're now lying second on the road to Wheels Hancock, whose car I can see not half a mile ahead of me. We seem to be catching up on him pretty quickly, but now, what, just a minute now, wait a minute here. This is positively uncanny. A clear blue sky and a nice bright sun 1 minute, and now suddenly a thick fog has just sprung up. I can't see more than 2 feet in front of the car. And we've got to be very careful here. Now, according to my road map, we should be approaching a narrow bridge spanning a deep mountain stream. Out of the car, I can't see a thing, but we must be somewhere near it. Now, perhaps if I were to lean my head out of the window and...
Put the bridge back, Sid.
Good evening, listeners. Brown Johnson again. And we're now at the last stages of the Monte Carlo rally. Well, we shan't be able to give you any more eyewitness accounts because, unfortunately, we seem to have lost proper contact with Raymond Baxter. His last recording, picked up by the BBC, didn't give much information. He said simply... Thank you, Raymond Baxter. Meanwhile, as the rally nears its completion, we have just been informed by the Air Ministry of a sudden change in weather conditions over the latter stages of the route. There's a fierce blizzard blowing in the Alpes Maritimes, the mountains just north of Monte Carlo, through which the leaders should now be passing.
It's so good. We can't go on without the stop.
Can't stop now. Another 2 hours, we'll be in Monte Carlo. There's 1,200,000 francs at stake. You keep driving.
But I can't see all this snow.
The windscreen wipers, haven't you?
They're not much good when you haven't got a windscreen. Ah, well, be fair. You know, when I get chilly, I'm liable to have one of my turns.
Hey, just look at this weather. It's getting worse. The snow must be a foot deep.
Oh, much more than that.
I'm talking about inside the car.
I told you we should have got one with a roof on it. Look at it. A bowler out in the pipe each, and the kids will start slinging snowballs at it.
You keep your eyes on the road, Hancock. The surface is like glass. There's a 4,000 drop on one side and smack into the chasm.
I wouldn't worry. Even if this car did go over the edge, I bet we'd have to get out halfway and push it.
I wonder how the other cars are getting on.
Oh, I think they should all be in the Mediterranean by now.
What do you mean?
Well, a pot of paint, a few depth strokes with the old brush. It's amazing what you can do with some of them dangerous bend signs.
You better go carefully along here, Tony. It's getting worse.
Yeah, look at those mountains up there. There must be millions of tons of snow in that lot.
Yes, I was reading about that the other day. Do you know that a sudden violent noise could bring the lot down on top of us?
Really?
Yes, it's the echo. It vibrates round the valley and causes an avalanche.
Don't worry, it won't happen here. You'd have to kick up a horrible din to bring that lot down. I will.
Let's have the radio on.
Yeah.
This is the BBC Life Program.
I think it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Well, that's the worst landslide I've ever seen. Lucky that rescue party came along and dug us out. We'd have still been there.
Has anybody seen Tony?
Yeah, he fell over the edge of the cliff. They're still looking for it.
Oh, look, there he is, chatting to that man who's trying to get him up.
First time I've been hanging from a cliff top by the tips of my fingers.
I didn't think it was.
Well, you could... Oh, you could tell by the cool, calm, professional way I was screaming my head off before you came along.
Yes, sir.
But I've been mad in all my life, you know.
Really?
Oh, yes, when I was in the army, I was over the hill most of the time.
Were you?
You know, the time I've got in mind was on the Everest climb.
You climbed Everest?
Yes, when I was out in India.
Oh.
Every morning before breakfast.
Did you?
I know what you're going to say now. Yes. I can tell you the exact words you're going to say.
What?
Antinillery. Yeah, they all do. It makes you sick. Now, top of Everest, where maybe just a gleam in the father's eye.
Really?
Are you sure?
Am I?
Listen, you've heard about them great big footprints they found in the snow up there.
Yeah.
Mine. Mine. Of course, that's not the story they give out. Oh, dear me, no, they... I realize now the biggest mistake I made was not sticking a flag at the top.
Oh, you should have done that.
I know. Well, I left me lunch up there.
Did you? Well,
let's go. I went back and had a look.
Huh?
Well, anyway, do you mind taking your spike boots off my fingers?
That's all right.
I just thought I'd mention it in private. The time I'm telling you about was, let me see, it'd be the 10th time I climbed it. That'd be a Thursday.
Hmm?
It'd be a Thursday. I said to my mate, Harry, you don't know Harry, do you?
No, I never met him.
Nice fella he is. Yeah. Nice fella. Yeah, he took to drinking in the end.
Oh, dear.
It was the making of him.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, I said to Harry, do you fancy Everest today? He said, well, it'll make a day out, won't it? So we packed some sandwiches and off we went. Well, I got to, oh, I suppose it must have been about 32,000 feet.
Ah, wait a minute. Everest isn't as tall as that.
Was then. It was then. Me and Harry...
Me and Harry wore it down, running up and down it. Well, there I was.
Yeah?
There I was.
Where?
To put you in the picture. Yeah. There I was. Dangling over a precipice, hanging onto a rope that was tied round Harry, who was standing on the top, when he suddenly says, "Hey, look at the time," he says. "It's 7:15. I've got to go home." I said, "You..." I said, "You can't go home and leave me dangling over the edge of this cliff. Come and help me up." Well, I don't know whether it was his conscience, but his whole attitude changed.
Did it?
He could see he'd been selfish. You know, he blushed with shame.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man more ashamed of himself. He knelt down on the edge, and he looked down at me, and he said, "Forgive me, old man. I was being selfish. I realized you've got to get down as well as me." Do you know what he did?
What?
He cut the rope.
Hey, Tub, hurry up. They've dug the car out. Let's get a move on.
Oh, come in. Cheerio, then. I'll see you next week.
Well, I hope, eh? I look forward to it, little chap.
Well, tell you why. It's been delightful. Right. Thank you. You're the only one who understands me.
Well,
yes, on, goodbye. Ta-da. Come, children, to Monte Carlo and the prize money.
Turn out to welcome us.
Where's Mr. Carlo?
Who?
Monte Carlo, the Blood Ranger thing.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? First home in the Monte Carlo rally.
Yeah, here comes the mayor with the prize money.
Ah, mes amis, congratulations. What a magnificent achievement. You had won the Monte Carlo rally, and I have the pleasure in presenting you with this check for 1,200,000 francs. And here it is. 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 Here it is.
I'm sorry. How was miles away?
Well, here it is.
Oh, yes, the check for 1,200,000 francs.
No, a ticket for parking. You've been stuck here on this telephone line for 4 days now.
Officer, I can explain. The sun has gone on. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. I wouldn't bother you again. Have an idea. Have an idea. With me.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Well, we know about that. Come on, give your name and address. So you're
right.
Coming to
You have been listening to Raymond Baxter and Brian Constance, Half Hour. And in the program, you also heard Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, and Kenneth Williams. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the program that was recorded was produced by Dennis Mayne Ruth. The